Hello, my name is Terry, and welcome to another episode of the Animation Industry Podcast. This chat is with Ben Azrouche, a stop-motion artist originally from Iran, but living and working in LA now. Ben has become known online for his mastery of stop-motion rigging devices, and recently, after working on it for nearly 2 years, he's launched his own motion control kit that can be connected to your winders and rigs and synced with Dragon Frame to automate any type of stop-motion movement. Like, for instance, a can spinning in consistent incremental movements every single frame. It's very interesting. And in our chat, he's going to share the entire journey. So without further ado, let's jump in. Hello, Ben. How are you doing? How's it going?
Hello, Terry. I'm doing pretty well. Thanks. How's
good.
It going?
You know, I don't meet a lot of people on my podcast in person, except for like when I've interviewed like my coworkers or like former co-workers or friends or whatever, but you're one of the few people that I have met in person. And then I was like, can you come on my podcast? Because you came to Toronto, you messaged me, you said, hey, we're two stop motion people. I'm going to be in your city. Can we grab a coffee?
Yeah.
Said, sure, yeah. Like, why not?
Pleasure. Yeah. And, you know, after like, I have to mention, it's like after the episode 200, I was like a podcast listener for a while, but after that specific episode and learned that you are, as a professional, also like trying to find what to do next. And I heard that like all the human things about like struggles in work and everything. Yeah, I thought that, yeah, I'd like to have a conversation with Terry and like meeting in person. Yeah.
Well, we had it. We had that conversation. That's nice to hear. It's so funny when people tell me how I come across in the podcast. Some people say I'm like, I sound super professional and whatnot. I don't know. I just feel like I'm a person trying to figure things out. Anyways, yeah, it was super cool to meet you. And also, you're doing really cool things. I want to chat. You know, you had quite a journey in stop motion and rig building and even making your own kits now, which is really cool. And you've got a bunch of attention online for that, which I want to talk about all those things. But you're not, so you're living in the States right now, but you're originally from Iran. So tell me, did you get into stop motion specifically in Iran and then move here? Or like, did you move here because of opportunity? Like, tell me more about, you know, your life in Iran and you know, discovering that you're an artist and want to try out a whole bunch of different things, and then the journey to come here.
Sure. Yeah. In Iran, I wasn't doing any stop motion. So like the story began in Iran, but back there I was a graphic designer. And mm-hmm. If I want to go like a little bit, if I want to like start from a little bit sooner, I was studying electronics as bachelor, and then somehow I figured out that even though I always thought that electronic was what I was always loved, I felt that I like graphic design more, and I started like getting more graphic design work and kind of drawn into that field. And then I decided to like change my major and study graphic design as master's. So that was how I like started becoming a graphic designer. And the focus was more on designing brand identities and stuff like that. But I always had this passion to build things with my hands. So I was good at crafts, and I was doing like a little bit of woodworking or like making anything like with cardstock or this kind of stuff. I remember that it was like a little while before I come to the US that I was following the work of this Swedish agency called Snask, okay. I think. I actually haven't looked at their website or their Instagram recently, but back then they were making this like real life illustrations out of cardstock or any other material, and they would photograph them and like use them for a campaign or a poster or stuff like that. So I always like to try doing something like what they were doing. So bringing more like crafting and less just computer stuff into my graphic design. So I started like building things for my clients, photographing them, using them in posters or in campaigns. And I had the chance to do such a work for a few of the clients. And that was when I got my visa to the US
Yeah.
and I moved here. So naturally, I would rely more on my like graphic design work rather than just this new thing that I had started. So I tried to find work mostly in graphic design. But then I like, yeah, if you like to hear the whole story, I
Yeah, I
can
mean,
like the
I just want to backtrack a little bit. So you discovered that you really like electronics and building things from a younger age, which I'm assuming is more of a mathematical, well, maybe not mathematical mind. It's more like a hands-on, it's like a trade. When you say electronics, you mean like wiring, like if you'd be an electrician, or are you talking about like engineering, like building like concepts for, I don't know, like a computer or something?
Yeah, I'm talking more about like the engineering. In the high school times, one of my main hobbies was to buy electronic kits and like build a small radio or an amplifier or like a flashing lights. I remember I like built a series of kits and was able to like put a security system for our apartment. I don't know how my dad like trusted me to do that, but yeah, I was
Wow.
always like into making like engineering stuff,
You look
and
around your
like
apartment, there's just
become an
wires
electronic
hanging
engineer
around
too.
everywhere. An alarm goes off, you made it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's interesting. And then you discovered graphic design, which is a much more, I guess there's math involved because, you know, aesthetically pleasing and rules that you have to maintain and whatnot. Interesting. And then you kind of, I mean, if we fast forward, you've merged the two. But I'm just wondering, like, like maybe this is a question for later in the chat, but I'm curious what the stop motion or like artistic landscape or industry is like in Iran versus America.
When I was in Iran, I wasn't like actively following the stop motion scene in Iran or like the animation. I had a few friends who actually helped me, like when I decided to go towards stop motion, they helped me, but I wasn't like actively going to animation festivals or like being
Gotcha.
involved in the stop motion or animation scene. So I'm not the best person to give you like the best
Yeah,
outlook
that's fair.
of the everything, but I can tell that there are a lot of great individuals or small teams that they do stop motion and animation. But as far as I know, it was never like like a very big production companies like here. So here, for example, we have different studios as
Yeah.
big as maybe Leica or a lot of like smaller, but you can feel it like in different scales. But from what I know and from what I see now, it's like more on a smaller scale, especially for artistic stop motion and animation. But it was a while. Still there is, but I feel it was more before the COVID that for some reason a lot of businesses was like excited about stop motion ads. So there was a period that I remember a lot of even graphic designers or photographers liked to like be able to make a stop motion ad. It was when actually Instagram was still something pleasing to look at.
Yeah.
And
Okay.
I think there is still like a lot of demand for animation stop motion for advertisements.
Interesting. Yeah. Thanks for answering that question. I'm wondering, when you came to the US, was it hard to transfer your graphic design skills from Iran to US? Was it hard to find a job? I'm just wondering how easy or difficult that
Yes
was
and
to.
no. It wasn't hard to find a job, but it was hard to find the job that I was expecting to find because My main focus in Iran was on designing brand identities for the companies, and it involves like the strategy and ideation. But when I came here, and when people was looking at my website or my portfolio, most of my branding work just translated into like print layouts, and like you are a good graphic designer to layout and marketing email or a brochure or things like that. So the layout part of my work and like the more like was that part was like got more attention, and I understand that they couldn't like relate or maybe trust the strategy part or the part that is more involved with the client as well. So that was one of the reasons that I never was 100% happy about what I was doing as a graphic designer here, because it was like moving from like a more senior designer to a junior designer that like mostly executes other people's ideas.
Right. Gosh, that sounds super frustrating. I guess it's kind of the growing pain of going to a new country where you don't, you kind of start from scratch. But you've been doing a whole bunch of different stuff now. I'm wondering, can you talk about the transition of going from a junior graphic designer to now, where you ended up creating rigs and doing stop motion and all for clients as well too?
It was an interesting like path. I never like planned different stages, but
Yeah, you weren't
as I
like,
was,
this is exactly what where I'm going towards. It just kind of happened. You discovered something along the way, and that led to one thing to the next.
I definitely wanted to like continue the path of like making things with my hand, those like handcrafted illustrations that I was mentioning before. So I started like after work and any time that I would find here and there, I started like building more things and trying to make more like samples of what I was doing. And it was the time that motion was becoming a good an important thing in the industry. So I figured that if I do this kind of stuff and just make something real and take a photo of it and use it as a poster or for an advertisement, it won't be that much like something in demand. So naturally, the next step after that was to animate it. And stop motion came from there. I was never like thinking of making a stop motion specifically because I love a stop motion. It came from I love making something with my hand, and I want to make it useful, and one of the best uses of a real item, a real object that you have in real life in advertising industry is to like make an animation or a motion out of it. So that was how I went towards stop motion.
So wait, what is driving? So you're working full time as a graphic designer. And then in your spare time, you're just experimenting with different branding ideas. I'm just wondering what is driving you. Would you go to work the next day and be like, here's how we can wow our clients? And were you hoping to move up in the ranks to become a senior strategist at a design studio? Or, were you just, I don't know, bored during your day job and just wanted to have fun experimenting? Like you said, you weren't planning specifically to get into stop motion, but there was still something driving you to push what you're doing in your day job a step further that ended up getting you there. So what was driving you to come home from a full day of work? You're probably tired, you want to eat some food, just relax, but instead you're, in your little shop.
That's like the motivation was both first making something that I enjoy, because I can tell easily I didn't enjoy 50 to 70% of what I was doing in my day job.
Right,
So
like most
I
people. That's
Yeah.
actually quite a good percentage compared to most people.
I'm not sure about this number. Maybe still it maybe that's the nature of a job. Maybe I
Yeah.
should say like 80 or to 90%, I don't know. But yeah, I didn't enjoy a big part of what I was doing as a graphic designer back there.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do something that I enjoy. And at the same time, I was looking at it as a potential to like open the doors to other opportunities that I can do things that I think I'm capable of doing, but still I haven't got a chance to do it. Or so I wanted to like show the people, whether at my current work back then or other people, that hey, these are the other stuff that I'm capable of doing, and if they liked it, that would be like a nice transition to like a more lovely day
Okay.
job too.
Okay. So it was like a mix of like not being entirely satisfied with what you're doing, probably seeing stuff like that. I think you said the Swedish studio, or was it Swiss studio? I can't
Yes,
remember.
it's Swedish, I think, yeah.
Seeing what they did, and then like wanting to still kind of climb the ranks and prove your capabilities. Makes sense to me. And then, so you weren't specifically like, here's a specific role that I want. It was more or less like, let me try to have fun doing something and see where it goes.
Yeah, exactly. And that was actually why in the middle of like doing that, I was working, let me put it this way. I was working for, I think, more than 3 years as a graphic designer here. And the things that I'm saying, starting to making things, like I started on the first year, but it took me a long time to get to the points that I can use them. That's because I was enjoying doing that, and they
Yeah.
gradually like transform into even other stuff. While I was making things, I figured out I'm enjoying like building accessories. So I started even designing wooden and brass necklaces, or like things that are not even related to what I started with, because I was enjoying like making things. And first, my main focus on was like making things with cardstock, and then I decided like bring wood. And I was I've done like a little woodworking before, so I was like a little familiar, but not like an expert or a skilled woodworker. But I was like familiar with a little bit of like sawing and gluing and making something. So I started working with wood. And it took me to somewhere that I found it very satisfying to like carving the shape that I like. So I bought a Dremel and like started like making jewelries, kinda. And from there, I like to like add soft metal to it. So I drifted a lot from what I just started, and then I learned to I wanted to like be able to work with metals, but it was hard to like hand saw. So I learned how to work with a CNC machine, and I found like a local hacker space here. So I learned from that they had like a CNC machine and other tools, and I learned how to do. So I was just experimenting, I think.
Yeah.
I always wished to this stuff getting somewhere. At some point, I wanted to like make like handcrafted illustrations for people, and then I wanted to like sell jewelries and handcrafted necklaces to people, and I always wanted to do something with that, but at the same time I wasn't like boxing myself into a very defined idea of what I want to do.
This is very interesting to me. I hear a lot of people say like follow the fun, and like that's how you should figure out where you'll end up as an artist, because if you're always having fun, you're not gonna get burnt out, and then you'll become really good at it, et cetera. So you never were like, okay, I see this artist, they're an amazing jewelry artist, and they use wood and soft metal, and I'm gonna aspire to be them, so I'm gonna follow that path. You were more or less just kind of like sitting in your little studio at home, just kind of experimenting with different materials, and then one thing led to another. You were like, oh, I like doing this, and then I'll go down that route, and et cetera, et cetera. And obviously, we've ended up where you're creating these extremely complex motion kits for stop motion specifically, which look incredible.
Thank
But
you.
also, I'm wondering, it sounds like a lot of personal investment to buy this machinery, to buy these materials. Were you selling things along the way? Did you sell your jewelry, or is it more like a passion project where you're just like,
it was more like a passion project. I was never able to like sell as much as they can like compensate the expenses that I was.
So what do you think, so say for instance, the jewelry you specifically made somehow became a trend and like everybody wants one and now you're super in demand. Do you think you would have stopped there and kind of just continued making that jewelry? Or I guess what I'm saying is like, what if you found massive success with something you were having fun with along the way, would you have stopped there or just kept going to where you are now and maybe the future?
That's a good question. I can't like give a like solid short answer to this, but what I found along my like life and career path was that even the time that I switched from electronics to graphic design, because I always thought that I this is the only thing that I love in this world, and then I found something else. So something that I figured out is that there isn't like a specific shape to what someone like. It's like, I like making things, but putting a name on that creation as like a stop motion piece or a jewelry piece or whatever else, I think it's not like the way it works in life. My passion could get different like real life forms, you know what I mean? So maybe if I had like if people liked my jewelry and for some reason I started like making more and more and more, I wouldn't think that I would like regret that I didn't become stop motion artist but just ended up making jewelries, because you know in the core they are the same thing.
Interesting.
Doesn't make sense.
Because like in my mind, when I'm working on like a stop motion, my brain is like, this is great, but I also want to work on a 2D animation. Then I'm working on a 2D animation. My brain is like, this is great, but I would love to, you know, paint a mural. And then I'm painting a mural and I'm like, I would love to carve a wooden horse out of, and I just do a million things. And my brain is always wanting to do more. Like I never feel ultimately satisfied with what I'm doing, but I can go pretty in depth into like one thing and do it for a long time.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm exactly like,
but it doesn't sound like
I have this different parts of my personality, and I have a very curious brain in like experiencing and doing things. So I wouldn't say that if I ended up selling jewelries, I wouldn't experiment other things, or I wouldn't like at some point, probably very soon, I would find a way to get some help from the other people to do part of the production, or find a way to like make more free time for myself. So I definitely would have started doing something else. I can never like stop somewhere and say, but okay, this is the ultimate thing.
Interesting, because it also
sounds
like graphic design is that one thing that you've been very consistent with that has allowed you to have that free time to explore these other passions. So like, you know, maybe if you ended up making jewelry and that became like lucrative enough to have a full-time business, maybe that would be your graphic jewelry making would be your graphic design while you do other projects. Or is like graphic design like your base that you can always come back to because it, you know, you connect so well with it?
Probably I would come back to that as well.
I mean, it's what you're doing right now. You already said it was the one thing in the whole world that you knew you would enjoy doing.
Yeah, you know, when I was like making those jewelries, I started like designing my own brand. I started like thinking how the boxes should be. I started like thinking how that. Yeah, so this graphic design probably would always be with me. But probably some other things would have changed. I don't know. Yeah, I'm saying,
Interesting. I think it's even cool that while you're making jewelry, you're thinking about how graphic design plays into that. That's super interesting. Huh. So tell me about the transition from, you know, jewelry into making motion control kits for stop motion that connect with Dragon Frame and can move like very small increments and turn and et cetera. Like I feel I haven't like I haven't worked on many stop motion productions professionally, but the ones I have, you know, the rigs can get very complicated. And also like, you know, you're always making, you're just taking like wire and stuff to make your own quick rig to hold up something. But I've never, except for specific people's projects, I've never seen like a rig, a motion control rig that animates the actual like puppet or like objects other than like the camera or stuff like that. So tell me about the how you fell into that and that whole process.
Yeah, that was, I think that's where it gets interesting for myself. I was like, it was the third year, I think, that I was at the company doing that graphic design job, that I came to this conclusion that I can't like get a significant like career change where I am working at. And probably I cannot sell enough jewelries to make a living out of it. So I remember that at a certain point, I was like experimenting computer motion in that time as well. I remember any downtime I had at work or for any project here and there that would allow me, I installed like After Effects and Premiere on my work computer as well, because we had all the like Creative Cloud and I was allowed to like use all the other apps as well. So I had on my computer. So I was getting better in like doing computer animation. And I thought that that's a good point to like go back to what I started a couple of years ago and try to make those stop motion samples and combine them with some like graphic elements, maybe some type that can appear on top or something to look like a real advertisement. And it sounded to me that that would be the most like realistic, tangible like way to be able to change to another career, to another job that I like doing it better. So at that point I started again, I had more like crafting experiments. I was able to work with more material. So I started like doing some other stop motion samples. And that was the time that I even asked one of my stop motion director friends. He was back in Iran, Mohsen Rezapour. Actually, in that time, he finished his like short stop motion movie called Eaten, I think, which like won tons of international awards. And I knew that he's the person to go to and ask what's the best workflow for stop motion. So he told me that you'd better use DragonFrame, and this is how I use like Premiere and After Effects after I shot everything on camera. So that was where I started like the basics of a stop motion, what's the professional workflow, and created, I believe, five work samples. And I thought that these are good enough to give me a job in like animation or stop motion or motion graphics or whatever like industry that is
Yeah.
related.
What were some examples of, I mean, I've seen them, but what were some examples of the five portfolio pieces in stop motion that you created?
I don't know if I don't think I still have it on my website,
Oh, well, then
or
maybe I haven't seen
they
them.
are
I mean,
down
I
like
thought
my
I had
feed
seen
on
them all.
Instagram. There were one like a Ritter Sport chocolate stop motion. I made like one thing for Clarins, I think, face mask or cream or something. And there was one for like it was a off-road car with like triangle wheels that, and there were like two more. One was for another like local pastry shop here. I thought that it's nice, like build something for a real store. Maybe they like it and they give me more work. It never happened, but I made something for it. There was one other thing I can't like
Sure.
recall right
But
now.
you're not talking about like character, walk cycles, lift, weight.
Oh no,
You're
I
doing
never
like
like what.
brands. You're doing like brand products being animated, like the car, like it has triangle wheels and then it goes in the shop and it gets circle wheels for the bakery in town, you animated some stuff for them. Okay. So you're specifically looking for more branding work, which some people have made their whole careers out of, like Colette Perry on Instagram. She only animates like brands, products and stuff, and that's all she does in stop motion. So you're looking for that. You want to like merge your graphic design with animating skills and like come up with a portfolio to show clients. Did it work?
No.
Okay, that's
No.
fine.
I started applying for the positions or sending these people, and I didn't get any reply.
So who were you applying to? Were you applying to agencies or were you applying to directly to brands saying like, I'm an independent studio, I can animate your brand. Here's some other brands that I've animated.
Mostly I was applying to job openings. Maybe that was where I should have done it differently. I didn't reach out to studios individually or like to I did reach out to a few brands, but I never heard back. And then when I saw a job opening for a motion designer or a motion graphic designer, these were like the job titles that at that time I thought that they could work for me. Now I know that no, I'm happy that none of them worked, but
Interesting that you thought a motion designer would be, 'cause like in my mind that's like text and like After Effects images and like stuff like that, but you were like it can also be stop motion.
I in that time I wasn't seeing like this too differently. For some reason I was looking at the tactile objects that I make as an asset for my motion design, instead of
I see.
creating a vector truck, I can make a truck out of cardstock. So I was looking at them most like an assets, and then just something that brings more visual appealing to the motion that I make, but I wasn't looking at it as a whole different thing. That's maybe why I was looking at it as a motion design thing, but it didn't work. So even at one point, I remember that back then I was a member of AIGA, I don't know if like the Americans Graphic Design Association,
Okay.
something.
Association.
And they had this event, the Portfolio Review Day at USC Fine Arts Department. It was 2019, I think. And I even like most of the people that go there are graduate
I
students
was just
or
thinking
people that
that.
like they just want to like some people to see their portfolio and give them what would be like what suggestion they can have for the next step in their career. And I even went there and showed my portfolio to a few people that were like, I don't know what they call it, judges or maybe mentors, I don't know. And I got some feedback, but it didn't work again. That one of them, for example, suggested to make a website only with this work and don't show your graphic design work. Someone else was like suggesting, let's combine those. It's great that people see that you are a graphic designer and you also do that. So I was getting different comments on what could work best in the industry. But for a while, for example, I removed all of my graphic design samples and I put just these five samples on my website and it didn't work. And at some point I first put the graphic design samples and then the motion. And then I switched it first the motion samples and then the graphic. So I tested all the combinations, but none of them worked until I came to this idea that I thought that why I'm not asking directly from the art directors of the agencies to know that what they think about my work. I don't want them to give me work. I'm in this point that no one cares about what I do, even though I think that they are good work, but I don't get any reply. So let me ask them. So I reached out to a few agencies, and the agency that I'm working right now at, one of those agencies, that, and it happened that one of my friends used to work there a few years ago as well. So I asked him to if he could like refer my work to the art director or someone there, so I can just ask them what they feel or what they think about my work. And fortunately, the design director of the company like replied back and said, sure, let's have a meeting, for example, next week on a Wednesday, and we can talk about your work. I was so happy that finally I got like one person.
So the other agencies didn't respond.
One other agency also responded, but they was like, gave me just some like written feedback via email. They never like
I see. So you were looking for like a one-on-one, let's have a 10-minute meeting of your time. You know, I'm a graphic designer living in the city, and I'm trying to put together the best portfolio. Can you give me 15 minutes of your time to just go over it with me and whatever? So how would that be different than the portfolio review day that you had, where, like, you know, because those people were already looking over your portfolio and giving you advice. So what were you expecting to be different?
I was looking for a more honest answer. I think in portfolio review, maybe because that was how I felt it. But I think because they are like all graduate students and they need like this hope and this motivation to move forward, no one actually like tells you that this is not a good work.
Yeah.
This doesn't belong here. I feel that this is like poor, but I think they never like give you that much honest answer. They try to like talk based on what you have and try their best to like give you some direction. But at the same time, I can say this, if you ask them, will you hire me yourself right now? They would probably say no.
Yeah, right.
But
I mean,
they can't sell that.
I've critiqued quite a few portfolios in my day. And when you give an honest answer to a student, doesn't always go so well, you know.
Yeah,
there's
I
frustration.
That totally makes sense. Yeah, you know,
but it makes sense. Like, yeah. So and also,
yeah, so I was hoping to get like
looking
more
at
honest
hundreds
answer.
Of portfolios that day. So they're just like, I don't really want to put in the effort because in 5 minutes I'm gonna have to look at somebody else's. Okay, I think that's a good strategy. I've heard of other people doing that too, where, you know, they haven't been able to find a job, but they're just like, can somebody take a look at this and give me some like honest feedback, because I don't know, when you're in the creative field and you hear that, you want to help somebody even if they're not the right fit for you. So they're, you know, you're like, hopefully they're going to be honest and tell you how to steer your path in the right direction. So you had this meeting booked, and you jump on the call.
I had this meeting booked, but something else happened before that, surprisingly. And let me add that it was at a point that I got laid off from my previous job. So the portfolio review and a lot of stuff happened while I was still working as a graphic designer on that company. But we lost a client, and they like laid off a few people, and I was one of them.
Yeah.
So when I was reaching out to the agencies asking for feedback, actually I didn't have any full-time job. And before that meeting, like before the date of that meeting, I got another email from the agency asking me that we need some help with a project. I know you're a graphic designer and this project doesn't have anything to do with your like motion work, but we need a freelance graphic designer. Are you open to work? And this is totally separate from our like meeting next week,
right,
talking about your motion work. And I was so happy. Yeah, I needed a job, and I was open to like working. So the day after that email, I started like working on a graphic design job and that same agency as a freelancer. And the week after, we had that meeting about my motion work and my stop motion work. And after I don't remember how long, but a few weeks maybe, I was very like comfortable working there, and they liked my work as well, and they told me that we like you to be working with us, but we don't have any like open positions for now right now, so we can continue like working as a freelancer until we can like create a position for your stop motion work. And it happened a few months later, I think.
I mean, that's incredible. That's
so,
fantastic. I mean, I would love to go to a marketing agency and be like, here's some services I give you. And they're like, we're trying to create a stop motion role for you because we really like it. And then a couple of months later, ta-da.
Yeah, that was
incredible.
Awesome.
I've never heard of, I can't think of it. And like, even in the business world, like, you know, I had graphic design friends. We would hire graphic designers. We worked with agencies. I've never really heard of, I'm sure it happens, this happening though, where you came with something completely different that the studio didn't have, and then they were like, oh, this is really cool, we're gonna actually create a position for this.
Yeah, I know it. Both, it was the right time, the right people.
Yeah.
I think they had like a very good vision of what this thing can go to and what they should like want to do next at their agency. And I know that they were thinking of like putting more effort on their content creation like capabilities, but not in a way that they already know that we want to hire, for example, a stop motion artist. But they were thinking that we want someone, or somehow we need to like develop our content creation part, or being more like capable of doing videos, because at that time more and more people and clients were asking for videos in addition to other like more traditional advertising materials. So it was like the right time and the right people that we came like we met, and they like saw this potential. I'm so glad about that. And I remember it was like one of the first, I don't know, weeks or months that I was working there, and I was we wanted to like make a video of a top ramen bowl launching one of the new products. And I suggested this idea that how about that, this is like a bowl and there is like label on top, but there are like type on the side as well. So how about we start top down on the top, doing a drum roll on the product, because it's like the launch of a new product, and then we change the side view, and that's where like the name and like all the supers like come up, and they like the idea. And I was executing it. It was like a simple stop motion of two drum sticks like hitting the top, and I just repeated those few frames to create the drum roll. And when I wanted to like change from the top down angle to the side angle, I was thinking we need a nice transition here. I cannot just cut from top to the side and then we see like the product. So I simply created like an L-shaped rig with two pieces of wood, and like put the camera at one end and secured another end to the table with like a screw, so it can like move like a hinge. And then I moved the camera from top to the side and used some of those frames. And I think I had to do a lot of adjustments in post, because with a, like a simple rig like this without any like proper like bearing or anything on the rotating side, you can't like get a nice trajectory of movement. But I finally made it work. And when I finished the post, the video, and sent it to the art director and the design director, I remember Mike, our design director, walked into the room and asked me, Ben, how did you do the transition from the top to the side? And I showed him a behind the scenes of the like a simple image on my phone, that this is what I created and said, this is great. We always wanted to be able to do something. And there are a lot of products that we wanted to like create this effect, but there isn't like a very simple solution to do that. So that was when I realized that, yeah, I can like create my own rigs and add something to my production. So I started designing a manual. It was the time that I still wasn't like using any stepper motors. I hadn't brought any like electronics into the mix, but I started like designing a manual rig for moving the camera from top to the side for the shoots. And when I built that, I thought of like other things, and then and one led to another, and I was like looking YouTube videos for inspirations to learn things, and I was at the same time trying to like work on my like animating skills. So one of the channels I really like and still like is the Edu
I do, yeah, I
Portas.
do, Puerto.
Yeah, Porto. Yeah, sorry, I probably I don't know the not right pronunciation, but I love this guy's work. He's great, and he easily like shows the way that he does his stuff. And I remember he had a video on his YouTube. The name was Arduino Changed My Life, and when I watched that, it changed my life too.
Wow,
because
okay.
yeah the video
I
was
hope you tell
about
him.
yeah the video was about like how you can program an Arduino is like a microcontroller board that you can program and do stuff with. It it's like a very small simple computer, and for those that don't know this, and you can easily program it with a sketch that Dragon Frame offers it, and you can like add motor drivers and stuff and create your own simple motion control controller, and bring like motion control, real motion control with motors and electronics into your production. And when I watched that video, I thought that this is awesome and I should definitely do that. But now it's many, many years from the time that I was working at and I was studying electronics, and I need to like refresh my knowledge, and things are changed now, but it wasn't impossible for me. So I started like learning how an Arduino works, and it took me a few months to figure out how to like add a drivers, what's like the devices that are now used in the market. So after a few months, I was able to make my first simple real motion controller and rig.
What did it
that's
do?
all there. But
what did it do? What was the simple action your first motion controller could do?
The first project that we used that I made an XY winder rig, but out of plexiglass.
Okay.
In that time, I was trying to work with the stuff that I know and are available at that point. So in that time, I had access to a laser cutter, and the easiest material to work me for to work for me back then was like acrylic and plexiglass. So I designed all the gears and like the pinion and rack out of plexiglass, and made a winder, motorized winder rig that was able to like move something on a 2D like plane.
Yeah. Interesting.
Since you have like a Y and X movement.
Yeah. Like a graph.
And we used it for a Cup Noodles shoot, I think. One of our agency clients was like this brand that makes like instant noodles, and we wanted to like move a cup towards someone's shirt, and for moving the cup on an arc trajectory until it gets to the shirt, I use that rig. And yeah, it was the first project I think I officially done with that.
My first question with this is, what is so as a stop motion animator who just animates these things by hand, and you know, I have winders and whatever, and I turn them by hand and I figure out how I want it to be. I'm assuming this takes away all of that for simple motions. You just leave the room, you set it up, you put dragon frame to take pictures, you the motion control is going to move a certain amount of frames, blah, blah, blah. You just set it up and leave the room and come back and it's all done,
Yeah,
right?
that's somehow
It
it's
only
like
takes
that.
6 months of figuring it out, you know,
Yeah, and for
with the
some
engineering aspects and all the
yeah, and you know, if an animation is doable in 10 hours manually, and if I can build a rig to do it in half an hour with
Yeah.
motion control, but the rig requires 20 hours making, I'd rather spend 20 hours on making that and
Of
have it
course.
like make it in 30 minutes rather than like animating it like in 10 hours manually. And maybe that's why I don't know, I'm not patient in or I
I think
like
it just depends what
perfect.
your brain enjoys doing more, you know? You know, I've seen a bunch of the shots that you've done, and like there's a cookie that's rotating and stuff like that, and the motion is like so precise and smooth, and it's like to get that by hand would be, you know, I've had to animate shots like that, and I have a ruler out. I have I'm constantly checking the screen. I'm measuring things on this on Dragon Frame to see where they fit. And sometimes, like I animated this one shot where just I needed a roll of like metal to roll across the screen, and I had to be like at a consistent pace. And I had to spend all this time like measuring out everything, putting little pencil dots that could be like edited out later to make sure that it was so consistent versus like, you know, you could just set up a one of Ben's motion control kits to do that for
Yeah,
you.
absolutely. Yeah, and also you can like shoot in higher frame rates because I feel like it's so hard to animate in 24 frames per second.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
with
12
consistent
even
motion,
it's
it's impossible.
yeah, 12 even it's sometimes so hard. I believe a lot of animators like even animate in 8, I think. But I know, yeah, but with motion control, you can easily animate in 24 frames or even higher to create like a slow motion effect. And yeah, these are the parts that I really like
Yeah.
about like this kind of.
I guess another so you've like fully developed this and you actually have built kits and things. I want you to talk about that, but first, what do you see the application for this? Because you know, I've animated on products and I've animated on TV shows and I've animated my own stuff. And I can see this application being used very easily for branding, you know, do a product spin, you know, stuff like that where you just need the very simple and linear and kind of shots versus like, do you also foresee the future of what you're creating being applied to puppets somehow, or I don't know, prop like on TV animation? Like, do you see like I don't know, like a puppet rig actually being motorized somehow? So, like I don't know, like tell me about where you see the application of something like this.
Yeah, you know, I like to say that, yeah, I'm really hopeful that it's be useful for those kind of applications. I cannot tell it for sure because, you know, I'm not a puppet animator, but I've seen a lot of like animation behind the scenes, and I've talked with people that who does that. So I believe that it would be very useful, but to be able to say it like for sure, it really depends on people starting using this in their like production. And that's where I think the stuff that I do become very helpful because now I see this gap in the market between like smaller animators or agencies and bigger companies. Bigger companies like easily have access and have the knowledge to use all kind of like motion control in their production. And smaller like agencies or individual people they don't like there is not like much manufactured products for doing motion control on the object side. And also, those people, from what I've seen so far, have this mindset that this is something very complicated, and this is not something for us. It needs like a real engineer to work with this kind of stuff. But I can tell that no, this is not that much complicated. But when an animator learns how to do with their camera, when they can learn how to work with Dragon Frame or Premiere or After Effects, these are not like easy applications. They are even, they have like a lot of engineering mindset going into those kind of stuff. So the same person that is able to work with those kind of stuff can easily use motion control as another tool in their production.
Gotcha.
And I feel if they don't go towards that, this gap between like the individual animators or these smaller agencies and the bigger agencies would become bigger and bigger, because motion control, nice camera movements and pilot movements, and like this very important like capability of being able to do one movement again and again, so you can get nice like VFX effects for something which requires like different same shots, is only doable with motion control. And I think, I hope that I can tell it like this. I hope that animators find this easy to use and start using that, so they can like shorten.
I'm wondering, you know, you mentioned it's easy to use or whatnot. Can you go through kind of the workflow of setting up a shot using the kit that you've created? Because, like, you know, I haven't used it, but already it sounds just like naturally complicated to me. Like I've never actually all the times I've worked with motion control, there's been somebody on set that does it all for me. And they don't even want you to touch it. They're like, don't touch anything. If something happens, call me, because I don't want you to fiddle with my settings. So I haven't even had the opportunity to learn, because they don't, you know. So what is the workflow of setting up, you know, the motion control kit with Dragon Flame? Like, how easy?
For like a simple scene, imagine that you have two motors. And let me first tell this, that for Dragon Frame motion control, for any movement, you need a motor. Yeah. Actually, we control motors with Dragon Frame and somehow transform that rotational movement into any other sort of movement. So if you want to like move something from left to right, you still have a motor with which the shaft is rotating, but you need to like use a linear, like
like a conveyor belt or
movement
like
to convert like that rotational movement to a linear movement. So basically we are working with motors. On the electronic side, it's very easy. There's a controller that you need to connect to Dragon Frame via a USB port, and in the connections menu in the Arc Motion window, you select your controller. When Dragon Frame recognizes it, you can set up different axes. Each one relates to one of the motors. So if you like using two motors, you configure like two axes, and a lot of like the configurations are fine the way they are. You don't even need to like play around with the numbers, but if you want to go deeper, you can change some of the numbers for different acceleration or speed or those stuff, but you don't have to do that. So that's electronics. That controller connects to the motors. And the motors don't understand where they are. So when you connect, for example, when you connect this pen to a motor, this position can become, you can assign a keyframe to this position. So the motor is connected to this pen, it can rotate it. So the way it is, the position that is right now, it can be your first keyframe.
Yeah.
Then you can move the playhead to, for example, frame 12. And at frame 12, you manually, with the Dragon Frame controllers, remove the motor to this position and assign a keyframe here. So this is the position on the frame 12. Dragon Frame will create all the in-between positions
Yeah, makes sense.
according to the movement curve. So if you want an is in, is out, naturally it would the
Yeah,
position
the
change.
increments will increase in speed until they're fastest in the middle, and ease out, they'll decrease until it comes to a stop. Yeah.
Exactly,
It sounds
exactly.
very, I mean, from my understanding of how the motion control cameras work, it sounds exactly the same, I guess. You're just controlling
Exactly,
something
yeah.
that's not connected to the camera, I guess.
Yeah.
So the workflow is basically get this kit, plug it in via USB, DragonFrame recognizes it, and then figure out where things are in space at keyframes, and then animate, and it'll turn things automatically. So
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
pretty straightforward, I guess.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that's why I'm saying, and now I realize that not everyone will like hear to this podcast with like the video, and I was showing like this
That's
pen
okay.
and
You had a pen and it was completely flat on keyframe one, and then keyframe two, it was vertical. So, you know, Dragon Frame is going to create those increments to get that motor to spin from flat to vertical. Yeah. I thought you were doing a great job explaining it even without the
Thank
visuals.
you. That's why I'm saying it's not more complicated than how to use a camera or how to use the
Yeah.
software itself. It's just this mindset that more like the artists think
Yeah.
that when there are like a lot of wires and connections and electronic stuff, it gets complicated, but it's not actually.
So essentially, you know, I've made a set, and I maybe take like, I use your kit, I use like five motors, and I hook them up to like various little contraptions that I've made that move things across. So like maybe I have a caterpillar slinking across the screen, and it like scrunches up every frame and then flattens out every other frame. I can just make something that fits to a motor that Dragon Frame turns every frame for the keyframes that I want, and then I can just leave the room and press record, and it'll record my shots, and the caterpillar will go across the screen.
Yeah, unless you want to animate something manually on each
Yeah.
frame as well. So when Dragon Frame like moves the caterpillar from frame one to frame two position, maybe you want to like
Yeah.
animate the hat or something other than like the motorized things
Yeah.
on set. Other than that, yeah, you can just leave the room, but.
This is like getting my wheels turning, because you know I've watched all the behind the scenes of Leica, for instance. Like Missing Link was their latest big film, and they even had like little screw mechanisms to make the characters breathe in the rigs, which I suppose they could have, you know, hooked up a wire to and just had, well, they could have just manually moved the motor anyways. They didn't even need Dragon Frame. But I guess now that I'm thinking about this, maybe because they wanted to keep the rigs very light and not heavy with motors. But I can't think of a single time I've seen them use mechanized movements on a set, now that I think about it. Have you heard of any examples other than like product shots, like movies or TV shows where they've used
No,
mechanized movements?
actually, and I can think of a few examples. For example, on the Isle of Dogs,
Yeah, Isle of
I think
Dogs.
all those dogs in the back rows were like connected to motorized rigs, I
Oh,
think.
really? Interesting. I'm gonna have to look that up
Or
so that an animator didn't have to move them.
or what else I can, I'm definitely can think of like a few, or I cannot recall anything else, but I'm sure that
Okay.
I've seen.
Interesting. Interesting. I mean, I know I've seen uses for that kind of stuff in movies that aren't stop motion. Like the one that comes to mind is the Phantom Menace, where the pod racer arena, all the little toothpicks in the stands were like, oh, maybe it was a fan underneath to make them move or something, but I don't know. But anyways, it's really cool. So this is, you just like came out recently to say, like, you know, I've finished this thing. If people like, it's a whole product now. You know, you've done some branding that you're so good at. Like, where do you want to take this? Like, do you see kind of partnering with Dragon Frame, or like selling these kits independently, or just like giving people, I don't know, where to buy the materials? Like what do you know, you've created this. Obviously, you use it at work, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Where do you want it to go?
You know, I have different thoughts on it, but I'm open to whatever good comes my way. You know, I always was like this in my whole like life and career, and it always like gave me good results because there are things that I cannot foresee, and when they happen, you see that, oh, I didn't think of this, but this is even better than what I thought. So, yeah, I really like to be able to kind of sell more sell these kits to the people that they can like that it helps with their the creativity process. But you mentioned like partnering with Dragon Frame. That sounds really good to me. I haven't thought of that, but yeah, it could be somewhere that I've seen on Dragon Frame store that they have third party like devices that are compatible with Dragon Frame, maybe something like that. Maybe I don't know. I like to I even like maybe educational institutions can use this, and something I was like I really like is like to be involved in more education and maybe partnering with colleges, I think. I don't know, because I feel that young graduates has a lot of energy to like explore this kind of stuff, and when they like start in the industry, maybe gradually they feel that they don't have like the same energy as before to like
Well,
invest on.
it's a much different thing to be in a school where you have cool resources and technology and things, and then to go work for a studio where they don't have that. How are you gonna convince the studio owner to buy those things, and if you've never even used them, you know, like, so it totally makes sense to try to get into you. And when you say education, you mean like people who teach like stop motion specifically, or just like other applications as well?
Yeah, I mean, people who teach stop motion or universities or
I mean,
colleges or.
yeah, I mean, when I went to Sheridan, they have a whole stop motion studio. I would have loved something like that. Like, even if you're in the stop motion department at Sheridan, you need to upgrade your rigs anyways. But now you should talk to Ben and get some motion control kits. Okay, that makes sense. And like, I guess it's very interesting how you ended up here just by kind of experimenting at home, and you had this like this passion for just, you know, following the fun and being hands-on and using your interests. So even though you're a full-time graphic designer, like, do you foresee this, like, where do you foresee yourself in the future now that you have developed all these other skills that also play into branding and advertising? Like, where do you see yourself going?
That's an awesome question. This is something I like to figure out in at this stage, because I think I'm at a point that yeah, a lot of things that I l was playing with as a hobby or fun or something that I was hoping to get to somewhere now has come to this point that they are actually. They've got this shape that I can call it like a profession or result. I don't know how to like call it. So yeah, that is something that I'd like to figure out myself. I really like to be able to put all this into like experiments and doing more and more stuff with that. And I like to be able to like work on the projects that I'm not still 100% like how to say it, like qualified
I
or
see.
experienced for that, so I still can challenge myself and learning new things. And because you know, when something like this, for example, this motion control rigs, when they come to a place that they're working fine and you know how to make something cool with that, and you make that video or stop motion and the result is nice and people like it, there is a lot of the desire is to like having you making more and more of the same thing that
you're
already good
really
at,
good at.
and the result is proven somehow. Ideally, I would like to do something that still involves a lot of experimentations, a lot of like learning new things. And
I think that's a really interesting point, just from like a psychology standpoint. Like, you spent a long time figuring out this motion control thing, and then as soon as you figured it out from what you imagined, and it works and it can be implemented and it's consistent, now you want to move on to something else, which I think is it's a natural curiosity of the human mind. At what point did you reach that state, because you've been working on this for a long time, and are you saying that you're going to pass it off to somebody else, or just like, if people want to buy one, you're always willing to put it together, or I don't know. I asked two questions at once.
I don't want to still like pass it to someone else. I still like, there is a lot of room for development, and I still enjoy like working on this thing. So, what I was saying, like, probably like, in if I get lucky and be able to like sell more of this stuff, or I get to a point that I feel that at least this version of the kit is got to like a relatively perfect shape. Hmm. I was talking about like that point that I don't want to like get settled there and say, okay, I have this, now I'm selling this and I'm happy with it forever. I like to be able to like move on and see what else I can do.
Yeah, of course. Makes sense. Interesting. I mean, I wonder what that's going to lead you to next, essentially, because you have a lot of skills that you've gained, and you're a very creative person. Do you have any idea of where the next thing you're going to be experimenting is with? Is it even in stop motion or graphic design? Is it completely different, or you're not sure yet?
A very rough idea that I have is that I like to find this chance to work on maybe the CG part a little bit.
Oh.
And get familiar with that, not because I find it like very interesting and a substitute to this. I'd like to explore and see what are the limitations on that side and how we can bring this to that, because there is something that that was like the motivation behind all of this. I like to work with my hands. I like to be in touch with like real material. And thinking that at some point, maybe the human being never touches the real material again, and everything happening on the screen makes me very sad.
I mean, that's already the reality we're not even meeting in real life. We're meeting on a screen.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's becoming more and more.
Yeah, 100%.
And so I like to find a chance to see actually how we can combine this real tactile form of art, which is called stop motion, and all the tools that we are talking about is around this like nice concept of working with real materials, whether you're moving it with motion control devices, or you're moving it manually, you're like making that puppet, or you are the one that animating that puppet, but everything's around that like nice human concept of working with real objects and real tactile materials. And I'd like to explore that, how we can like still have this, but also have all the like the requirements of the CG that the industry is after, and like bring this together. So hopefully, maybe that's an impossible goal, but hopefully getting to a point that we can say we are still working with real material, but we found ways that to satisfy the industry at some point as well, because it's inevitable. If we don't like try to see what the industry need is, probably they will like
Yeah, no,
Pull us away because.
I think that's a very interesting question, especially because of, the singularity of CG and Unreal Engine, and also now we have AI and also VR all merging together, and who knows if we're even living in a simulation as it is right now. But yeah, I mean, stop motion has survived for so long because people love to work with it, and it's like people who love to work with their hands can't not work with their hands. Otherwise, there wouldn't be stop motion animators, essentially, I
Yeah.
guess. So that's a very, I've never really thought about that before. So I'm curious to see how you end up approaching it and what comes out of it. Yeah, that's really interesting to me. I mean, you can go down a rabbit hole with CG. I mean, if you wanna learn until you can't learn anymore, you'll spend the rest of your life in CG.
Yeah, the
The
problem that I don't
technology's
want
going
to
to
like get
outpace your
so
what you can learn
deep in
anyway.
that.
But I think I understand what you mean about finding a convergence between real life materials and the industry's desire to replicate things fast, efficiently, and with complete control. So I don't know, maybe, I mean, 3D printed things that, like, for instance, like Leica is doing with faces of stop motion characters. That could be one way where, they animate and design the character in CG and then print all the faces and then get an animator to physically replace them. I guess that's a convergence, but I don't know. I'm curious to see what you're going to come up with.
Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah, I feel that, especially that I've always worked in advertising industry.
Yeah.
Maybe that would be really interesting to work in animation industry as well. I never had a chance to do that, but that sounds like real interesting because it should be very different. And in advertising world, it's everything's like about the calculations, about the time and money. But in animation world, a third factor, I think, comes in, and that's like the passion or the style that some people even like put more money behind something because they want it to be made in a certain way, even though they can make it like in a different way. But I think in advertisement, it's always about what costs less and gives you more. So in that mindset, I like to see that, yeah, how we can like keep something like a stop motion alive
Well, you're
because
already
it
working in
feels that it's like
advertisement.
the opposite like side of that like
Yeah.
mindset.
I mean, you're working in advertisements, you have all these skills, you have stop motion, and you have graphic design. It sounds like the perfect mix of everything to explore this.
Hopefully, I
Hopefully.
don't know.
Well, Ben, we've talked about, your journey from Iran to the US and discovering stop motion and motion graphics and making jewelry and making advertisements and animating a cup of noodles, and is there anything that we missed that you still wanted to share?
No, I think, yeah, thanks. Yeah, I think we talked about everything. It was like a great like life, I don't know, journey experience for me as well. I hope like people find this interesting as well. Yeah,
I mean,
thanks for
I certainly did. It's kind of weirdly cathartic to like sum up your whole journey into like an hour chat, isn't it? Where did you
Yeah,
come from?
actually.
Why do you do what you do? What have you done? Where's it going next, basically? But it's no, I think it's super insightful, and I know other people are gonna like this too, especially the stop motion fans. And like hearing the story behind hopefully the next latest craze in motion design is really cool. So thank you so much, Ben, for coming on the podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Course, thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And if you're listening and you want to reach out to Ben or check out his motion control kits, you can do so by checking him out on Instagram, which is Ben underscore Ozrouche, or his YouTube, which is at Moco Toolbox, or his website, which is Ben dash or yeah, dash Ozrouche.com. And I'll include all those links in the description of this chat. And that's all for now. So thank you so much for listening. Okay, bye. The music for this podcast was composed by Willem Mendo and the graphics by Luhan Wang. I encourage you to look them up if you've enjoyed their work.